From the prophet Isaiah, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." And it even tells you why. "That he may have compassion on you. For God will abundantly pardon." And God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are my ways your ways." In the days of Isaiah, people stopped looking for God, sort of. It's like they had God, and then they set him aside, and they continued with their lifestyle, and they made choices about attaching their heart and their thinking to all kinds of idols. In chapter 46, the prophet tells the people about those idols, about how they have these things made, and then they're carried around on livestock, on the back of an ox or a donkey or whatever, in a cart, and they would be toted around, and yet they prayed to them, and they worshiped them. It was something they made. It's not greater than them. It's not more powerful than them. It's material. Wood, maybe gold, maybe precious stones, but it has no power. And that's what the people attach their heart and their mind to. And because of that, God turned and he said to them that through the prophet, he said, there are going to be consequences. There's going to be suffering as the people of Israel had turned away from God. They're called stubborn, stiff-necked, and the like. They would not repent and come back to the one true God. Now, for a number of chapters, the prophet has really been, you know, just browbeating them with judgment. This is bad, this is bad, this is bad, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. And it was doom and gloom. And then for the latter chapters in Isaiah, God turns around and he gives them hope and he gives them promise. He gives them comfort. He is like the parent that loves his bad child. For often when parents come look for you, it's because they know you're up to no good. Mine did. They, you know, it got too quiet. Or they could tell by the noise that you were doing something that you shouldn't be doing. You know? We always talk about how moms had eyes in the back of their head, right? Yeah. And God came and he looked for the wayward, the disobedient, the stiff-necked, the stubborn. And he looked for them. And again through the prophet, he says, look, seek. Seek the Lord while he may be found. In other words, God is here. Now think about how much love does that take? I mean, do you seek out to be loving to people that have irritated you, made you angry, offended you, harmed you, slandered you, turned their backs on you? You know, do you seek them out and say, "Hi, I'm here," you know? Or do we not walk away? Do we not give up? Do we not just say, "Fooling with you"? And we know, if even if we see them, and you know human behavior, it's almost like we would cross to the other side of the street so we wouldn't have to see them face to face. We would take a different hallway in the workplace. We would turn around and go the other direction. We wouldn't eat at the same cafe. We would do and be someplace else. The gospel in today's reading is that God didn't do that. God does not behave and act and value in the same way that we do. In fact, it's pointed out that God's ways are higher than our ways. They are really, really different. That God readily makes himself available to those who have been disobedient, to those who have been naughty, for those who have betrayed him and slandered him, defamed him, you know, and gotten angry at him and blamed him. Whatever we have done according to our sinful nature, God has still made himself available. And he tells us why. Because the false gods have no compassion. The idols of our hearts and our mind cannot forgive our sins. They have no power to grant eternal life. They have no authority to give them a place in the kingdom of heaven. They have no power to ease the burden and the stress of the day. And they cannot fix your thinking. You ever ask, man, why did I think that? Because you were a little screwed up here. Okay, y'all don't move your head. Don't do this, because that would be confession. But you understand, God comes to us. And ultimately, he came in the flesh, in the Christ child. God with us, incarnate. Jesus, Emmanuel, our Savior. God comes to us and reveals his glory. The Gospel of John talks about that. And we have seen the glory of the only begotten Son of God. God comes to us in the Word. God comes to us in the sacrament. God comes to us as he came to the people of Israel. And we are not much different. Why is it that we don't spend a decent amount of time in Scripture? Why is it we don't pray every day? Why is it that, you know, we figure being in church once a month is enough? You know, why is it? It's because we chase after other things. We have set other things on the cart to be worshipped in our life. Whether it's sports, whether it's money, whether it's, you know, whatever it is that we treasure, we turn to those things more than we turn to God. And when do we come back? It's when those things aren't working for us. When our life is a mess, all other methods have failed. That's when we start to come back. And the graciousness, the compassion of God is, he's right there. The power of the gospel is a call to see and behold God. It's not something we can do on our own, but it is a gift of God that we behold him, that we believe in him, that we know him. In the days of the prophet Isaiah, the world living was tough. What do you think about today? Is it tough? Are people full of themselves? Do we think we're so smart as a global humanity, okay, that we can do life without God? I think we're there. Maybe beyond there. The call of the gospel has not and does not need to change. It is God reaching out to us who are a mess, us who fail him, us who sin against him. It is reaching out to us to behold him, that we may receive his compassion, that we may be restored as part of his people by his grace, that we may have hope in times when it is really rough and tough and hard and challenging. We could, in that sense, be comforted. Not only now, but like the story of the gospel, that we would receive more than we ever deserve, more than we have ever earned, more from a generous God who gives to us that denarius And if you ever look it up, you'll find out what's the value of a denarius and equate it to what it would be today. And you would recognize that this was not a union wage. It was more than beyond what one would earn. And God gives us more than what we deserve. He gives us the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from sin. He gives us the body and blood that strengthens our faith. He gives us the place in heaven, which we never merited. He gives us Himself. Seek the Lord while He may be found. It's less about you seeking and more about God revealing. And He reveals Himself into the reality of our idolatry, of our laziness, okay, of our selfishness, of our jealousies. He reveals Himself. And as He does, He says into our chaos, "Peace be with you."